Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, May 14th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Washington Governor Jay Inslee signs oil train safety law. Royal Dutch Shell says it will move forward with putting its drilling rig in Puget Sound, despite a city of the Seattle's insistence that it needs a new permit. Pullman School expansion plan study released, and committee hearing set in Idaho legislature's special session for Monday. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Washington Governor Jay Inslee today signed a compromise law on oil train safety. The law comes at a time when the number of explosive Bakken crude oil trains traveling through the state is increasing. While 19 of the mile-long trains travel through the state each week now, the Department of Ecology says the number could increase to 137 per week if planned oil terminals are built on the coast. Virtually all of those trains would travel through downtown Sandpoint, Idaho, and downtown Spokane. Many of them would also travel through a rail tunnel in downtown Seattle. Under the law, railroads must notify local emergency crews every week about the number and type of oil trains traveling through their jurisdictions. The law also requires railroads to pay a barrel tax on shipments, with the money allocated going towards oil spill response preparedness. The barrel tax already applies to barges and ships. The new bill does not assess a barrel tax on pipelines. Supporters of a stronger House version of the bill lamented the bill that eventually passed did not include oil spill disaster protections for Puget Sound, such as requiring tugboat escorts for oil tankers in the Sound. The bill does authorize a study which will evaluate whether tug escorts will be needed in the future. A Burlington Northern Santa Fe freight train derailed yesterday morning south of Wenatchee. The crash caused the railroad to close the east-west rail line for about 5 hours. Burlington Northern Santa Fe spokesperson Gus Malonis said the train was not transporting hazardous cargo when it went off the rails at about 5:30 a.m. Railroad officials have not yet determined the cause of the derailment on the line, which carries about 20 trains per day, including 2 Amtrak trains. Royal Dutch Shell's plan to bring 2 oil drilling rigs into Seattle's waterfront in the Puget Sound is moving ahead, despite the city saying they may fine the multinational oil company for doing so. Shell wants to use a 50-acre lease at the Port of Seattle they say is already in place through their terminal space contract with the port. The company wants to use the Port of Seattle space for storing and performing maintenance on its drilling equipment in preparation for exploratory oil drilling in Alaska's Chukchi Sea. The Associated Press reports Seattle Mayor Ed Murray's spokesperson Jason Kelly said in an email the city will issue a violation if Shell continues with their plan without first getting the appropriate approval. Kelly said should Shell bring the rigs to Terminal 5 before the appropriate permits are in place, Seattle's Department of Planning and Development will evaluate the situation and could issue a notice of violation. Mayor Murray said in a statement the Port of Seattle needs a new permit before mooring operations can begin. Murray said, "I now hope Shell will respect the wishes of the port, the city, and the community at large and not bring an offshore drilling rig into Elliott Bay." The port's commissioners passed a resolution Tuesday night asking Foss Maritime, whose client is Shell, to delay the plans to allow further legal review of the permit. However, the port also voted to appeal the city's interpretation. The city says the land use permit along the waterfront is for cargo operations, not storage and maintenance. Shell's plan has been approved by the Federal Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. Protesters were already in the water in kayaks and met one of the rigs Tuesday evening in Everett. Shell plans to continue moving the rig to Seattle, where larger protests are expected. Shell spokesperson Curtis Smith said the company will continue with their work under the terms originally agreed on by all parties, including the Port of Seattle. Smith said rig movement will commence in the days to come. Drilling opponent Richard Hodgen said drilling for oil in the precious Arctic is not on the right side of history. Federal Judge Rosanna Maloof Peterson in Spokane will consider modifying the consent decree granted in a 2014 case involving the court-enforced cleanup agreement for the Hanford Nuclear Reservation. The Tri-Cities Herald reports Peterson will likely schedule an evidence hearing in the case that includes the U.S. Department of Energy and the states of Washington and Oregon. The three parties requested the modifications. Judge Peterson said the parties showed conditions at the cleanup site had changed significantly. Voters in the Troy School District will be asked to approve a $1.2 million levy Tuesday. Voters in the district will also be asked to vote in a contested school board race in Zone 2. The two candidates in that race are Kyle Osborne and John Mentor. In the White Pine School District next week, voters will be asked to approve an $850,000 levy. There is also a contested school board seat in next Tuesday's election in the Potlatch School District. In that Zone 2 race, candidates Emily Hunt and Billy Howard are running. All county voters can cast ballots in two contested Latah Library Board races next Tuesday. In the race for 2 4-year positions, Rochelle Smith, Nancy Sprague, and Susan Seaman are running. In the race for 2 2-year positions, Mary McGregor, Lester Ivar Nelson, and Jonetta Coots are running. In both the library board races, the top two vote-getters will get seats on the board. Polls around the county will be open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday. The Idaho legislature will hear testimony on child support rules during the upcoming special legislative session Monday morning. The Idaho Senate and House Judiciary and Rules Committees will hold a joint meeting to hear from residents starting at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time Monday in the Lincoln Auditorium at the State Capitol. And the House Ways and Means Committee will meet briefly at 9 a.m. to introduce the bill. Otter called for the special session April 29th to find a way to bring Idaho in line with federal child support regulations after the House Judiciary and Rules Committee killed a bill that would have brought Idaho into compliance on the last full day of the legislative session, April 10th. The vote to kill the bill jeopardized $46 million in federal funding, plus more than $200 million in non-voluntary child support payments. Opponents of the bill were worried the legislation would have opened up Idaho to foreign influence because the federal standards comply with an international treaty on child support signed in 2007 in The Hague. The opponents brought up the possibility of Idaho being forced to comply with judgments made by foreign courts under Sharia law. Supporters of the measure say those fears have been addressed in the weeks since the legislature adjourned. The federal government says the new guidelines must be in place by June 12th, or the state will lose federal dollars. Pullman School District Superintendent Paul Sturm presented a recent study of the proposed expansion of classrooms at Jefferson Elementary School to the Pullman School Board last night. According to an account of the meeting in the Moscow Pullman Daily News, Sturm said due to healthy school enrollment, the school board could purchase 12 acres on Military Hill for a new school. Board member Carl Johansson said the location is an ideal place for an elementary school. Initiative 1351, a statewide measure passed last November in Washington, calls for class size limitations of 17 students through third grade and a maximum of 25 students in grades 4 through 12 per classroom. Poorer districts must limit class sizes to 15 in kindergarten through third grade, 22 in fourth grade, and 23 in fifth through 12th grade. Pullman School District's response to the initiative's passage is to expand the district's elementary and high schools. Last year, Franklin Elementary added 6 classrooms, and a high school modernization project, which started last October, is expected to be finished in 2017. And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, there's a 40% chance of showers tonight, mainly before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy otherwise, low 44. Tomorrow, 70% chance of showers, then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm in the afternoon, partly sunny, high 66. And 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday night, mostly cloudy, low 46. 40% chance of showers Saturday, mostly cloudy, high 61. And Saturday night, 40% chance of showers, mainly before midnight, mostly cloudy, low 45. A slight chance of showers Sunday, 20% chance of precipitation with thunderstorms possible after noon, otherwise mostly cloudy, high 69. Currently, the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, fair skies, 64 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assists with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial.